So, when I was growing up, my parents had this little garden in the backyard. And next to it was this compost pile. I don't know how many of you have been around compost piles before, but pretty much everything gets thrown in there, right? And so, of course, you never know what might come out of it. And sometimes you just have to wait to see. So these seeds would get thrown in there along with everything else, and every now and then something would start to grow, and you'd wonder, what is that thing? I remember one summer where we were wondering, is it going to be pumpkins maybe, or is it going to be watermelons? And you just have to wait until the fruit, until the plant starts to show itself, and only then do you really know what's going on deep down in the ground. Some of you who are avid gardeners or botanists, you would have known before we figured it out just what it was. But even you would have had to wait and watch for the thing to grow a little bit, for it to show the fruit of what's growing deep down in the ground. We've been reading through the New Testament, many of us, in these past several weeks. And this coming week, we're going to come to the book of James. And the book of James is all about the fruit. It's all about how will we know what's really going on down deep inside of our hearts. Well, we'll be able to tell by the fruit that comes out of it. That's how you can tell. And so let me read just a little portion of the book of James. This is out of chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Throughout the book of James, we hear example after example of the kind of fruit that we'll see, what we will see if this faith is living within us. But make no mistake, the fruit that James is talking about comes from that faith that is living within us, that word that he talks about that's planted deeply in our hearts. He's not just calling us back to a way of living where we just try harder, where be good, do good, make it happen, just try harder. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the fruit that flows naturally when the word of God is dwelling richly in our hearts, when our faith is truly alive in God. And he gets at what that faith is, the core of that faith, the core of what that word that's planted in our hearts is, when he says this: don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. At the heart of the biblical faith is this, that God is good, that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. There's no other idol that you can chase after that will give you the good that you're seeking. There's no other God, nothing else to worship, no other path to go after that will fill that hunger, that thirst in your heart, that will accomplish the good that we desire for ourselves and our world, apart from God our Father, who loves to give us everything we can need. At the core of this faith is this loving God in whom we believe. It's because we believe in the goodness of God, the steadfast love of God, it's because of that that we can live out these various examples that James gives us. Like in verse 1 or verse 3 in chapter 1 where it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet various trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." You see, we can persevere in the face of trials. We can even count it joy in the face of trials because, well, God is good. And all the time. So what's the trial that you're facing? You can know that, what did I say? God is good. And all the time. And so we face the trial and we say, well, I wonder how God is going to work for good through this. I wonder what God's going to teach me. I wonder what God's going to accomplish. I'm going to trust him and persevere. And James speaks numerous times throughout this book about that perseverance. And that perseverance comes because we can trust in God. He goes on to talk about how we can boast regardless of our circumstances. Did you hear? No, that's actually before the part that I read. He says, Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. So if you're poor, if you're in need, guess what? You can boast because God holds you in the palm of his hands. You are highly esteemed by God. You're a child of God. So you can boast in the midst of your difficult circumstances in the love of God. How about if you're rich? He says, well, don't boast in your riches. And the scriptures are full of that because riches, they come and go. Your circumstances, they look good right now. Just wait. They can go really bad. Don't put your hope in that. Boast in the Lord. In fact, he says here, the rich should take pride in their humiliation. You know, that you are just a servant of God. Yeah, God's blessed me with this money or this opportunity or this job or whatever. But actually, my identity is as a servant. And so we boast in our position before God. Our lives are always lived out in relationship to God, not primarily in relationship to our circumstances, to other people, but our relationship to God. That holds us steady. When we're not feeling good about ourselves, when things aren't good in our lives, we're highly esteemed and loved by God. And when we feel wealthy and things seem like they're so good, and we might be worried that the ice is getting thin and we might fall through, well, you know what? My security, my hope is in God. It's because we trust in the love of God, the goodness of God, that we can control our tongue, as James talks about, not only here, but later on in his letter. We can control our tongue because we don't need to use our tongue to try to control everybody around us. We can control our anger because it's not up to us to make sure everybody does our bidding, what we think they should do. We're going to trust God in the midst of this, and we don't have to win every argument. We can control our tongue because we believe in the goodness of God. We can listen. We can show respect for others. We can open up our hearts to others because we know that ultimately they can't hurt us. What they say, what we hear, it can't be used in a way that will destroy us because God is with us and we can trust God to give us security. We can listen to the stories of others. We can let their experiences and their opinions in. We can even consider them and let them help us to see the world differently. We trust in the love of God so we can open our hearts and our ears to others. It's because we believe in the love of God, the goodness of God for us, that we can care for others. And of course, this is what James talks about over and over again, what Jesus talks about over and over again, what the Apostle Paul talks about over and over again, that our call, the fruit of our lives, is going to be loving our neighbor, caring for those around us, especially, as James makes clear here, those for whom life is the most difficult, those for whom our world sets up the most challenges, becomes the most difficult. Those are the ones especially Jesus calls us, the prophets call us, James calls us to care about. You know that story that Jesus tells? Many of you read it this past week if you've been reading through the New Testament as a part of our community Bible experience. It's from Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus tells the parable of the king who gathers before him all the sheep and the goats. And then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." You see, these people were not trying to bear this kind of fruit. They weren't trying to impress Jesus. This was just the natural outflow of their lives. This is who they are. They bear this kind of fruit. This is the kind of people we are. We're called to be. That this faith that God has given us is supposed to bring forth in us the kind of works of God that we're supposed to be producing in the world. Not because we're just trying so hard and we're going to do it in our own strength, but because we believe in the love of God. And secure, rejoicing in the love of God, we're going to share that ice cream. We're going to share that love. We're going to share that goodness with every possible person we can. There's a story from World War II, a man named Maximilian Kolbe. Actually, someone in our confirmation class might have heard this story this morning. He's a Catholic priest who, in 1941, was arrested. He was taken to Auschwitz, a Nazi camp. And in the barracks that he was housed in, after he'd been there for a few months, somebody disappeared. It turned out that he had been drowned in the latrine. They didn't know that for a couple of weeks later. But because the Nazis thought somebody had tried to escape, they decided to teach everybody a lesson. And so they called out the men from this barracks, and they, out of all the men from the barracks, called out 10 names. And when they got to the ninth name, it was Francis Gajewniczek. And as Francis began to step forward, he said, "Oh, my poor wife and children." And Maximilian Kolbe says, "Can I go in his place?" And the deputy commandant, who was calling out the names for whatever reason, allowed him to do that, to take his place. And so he, along with 9 other men, were put into this starvation chamber. It's where they put people to just let them die. No food, no water until they passed away. For 3 weeks, he was in there leading those men in prayer and in singing, if you can believe it. And one by one, those men began to die. At the end of 3 weeks, there were only 4 left, and Maximilian Kolbe was one of them. But the Nazis needed the chamber to put other people in it, so they decided to finish the process, and they injected him with carbolic acid. Many years later, when the camp was liberated, Francis Gajewniczek was liberated too. And this Jewish man spent the rest of his life traveling the world telling people about the love the fruit of this man, Maximilian Kolbe's life. How he had given his life for his own. That fruit of that one man's life has been producing fruit now for decades. And this morning has the opportunity to produce yet more fruit in the lives of us who are here. Of course, Maximilian Kolbe didn't start on that day saying, how can I produce fruit for God? He didn't do that. He'd been practicing this all along his life, ever since he was a boy, and he had come to know the love of God and committed himself to following God. Ever since then, he had been seeking ways to practice bearing the good fruit that James is talking about here. And so after he entered the priesthood, he went and started a house of friars, of priests, to meet together and pray. He felt the driving passion of God to evangelism, to share the good news of God's love with others and invite them to experience it. And so his little house of a handful of friars, of priests there, grew from just that handful to almost 1,000. He went to Japan and started up a monastery and a ministry in Japan that continues to today. It's a prominent part of the Roman Catholic ministry in Japan today. He went back to Poland, and as the Nazis began to move into Poland and change the dynamics of the social structure there and of the politics, he spoke out against the Nazis. He started up a radio program. It was their new kind of media back in that day to speak against what the Nazis were doing. He used whatever opportunities he had to bear good fruit. His house, his monastery brought in thousands of people to care for them as they were displaced by war. They hid 2,000 Jewish people under their care. And of course, he was ultimately arrested and killed. He didn't just start on that day when he stepped forward to give his life instead of the others. He'd been practicing this all the way along. And I got to tell you, as I've been meditating on this book of James this past week, I'm asking God, how is it that I can become that kind of a person? How can I live out that kind of fruit, that kind of faithfulness in my life? How do I get there from here? And what I hear God telling me, well, the things that James makes very clear in his book, that first of all, we need to humbly accept the word of God that God plants in our hearts. Let that word in today. Hear the good news that God is good, that his love is true, that every good thing you could ever hope for is going to come from God. That's the only place it comes from. So put your hope and your faith in God and trust him no matter what the circumstances, the situations are. Keep remembering that word that's been planted in your heart. Accept that word. Welcome that word. Receive that word. Join us next week for worship and each Sunday after so that we might let that word be planted, rooted in our lives so that it can bear fruit. James talks a lot about not only receiving the word, but also about prayer. Nothing new here, right? We talk about prayer a lot. Like James says here, do it. Do it. Pray as people who actually believe in God who is good. Ask God for wisdom. How do you want me to live? How do you want me to use the resources? What kind of a commitment would you have me make? He says, God will be glad to give you that wisdom. Just ask him. Pray to God, believing that God actually hears you and loves you and wants to give you and through you all that is good. Pray. And the third thing that I see again and again through this book of James is take your next step. Practice what Jesus is teaching you, calling you to do. Do something. in response to the love of God this week, this day. For me personally, as I've been meditating on this, talking to God about it, the word that I've heard most of all has been for me to expand my relational network, to get to know better some people who have different experiences than me racially, ethnically, religiously. Open my ears and listen. Love by listening. And allow God to even teach me a few things as I do. For some here today, maybe what God is calling you to do is to get involved in this mission that God's entrusted us, this ministry. Speak to Luke. Speak to Shelley about T-ball. You know, find a way to do something to produce fruit. Here at Salem or in the community beyond, we complain a lot about the government, the civic life. Get involved and do something. You may not have all the answers. Or maybe you do, I don't know. But you can get involved and you can listen and you can speak up and you can be a part of good happening. Maybe God's calling you to find a way to read stories down at Bel Air Elementary School or the school that's nearby you, or to do some mentoring. Maybe God is calling you to visit your neighbor or to write a card to somebody. But there's something you can do. We can practice this. Maybe you can practice holding your tongue. Controlling your anger. I was driving into church this morning, remarkably. Not remarkable that I was driving into church, but as I was driving in, I'm meditating on this very passage, and suddenly a car whips out from behind me, cuts in front of me. They're in a rush, and I'm like, huh! I was meditating on this passage. Like, thank you, God, for this opportunity to practice holding my tongue, controlling my anger, to practice just giving it to you and trusting you and not feeling like I got to control everybody in the world around me. Practice. Maybe what God is calling you to do is to take another step financially. Honestly, next week, we're serious about it. This is really important. This ministry can only go forward, well, as God blesses us and as God might lead you, us, to participate in it, even with our finances. Maybe what God's calling you to do is to step up your level of giving, as Nichelle was talking about. For that to be even a small way or large way in which you practice your faithfulness, your response to the love of God with everything you are and have. Whatever the way is for you today, this week, this year, whatever the ways are, let it happen. May we not merely be listeners of the word and so deceive ourselves. Let's do this. Let's live out this word. Let's bear good fruit by God's grace in our world. Would you pray with me? God of love, we do praise you this morning for your goodness, your grace, for the promise of your faithfulness. Help us to trust you, whatever our circumstances are. Help us to keep practicing, counting it all joy, rejoicing in every situation, giving thanks in all circumstances. Help us, Lord, to practice trusting you so much that we risk loving one another, loving our neighbors and extending your love into the world. We thank you for those, oh God, who have been witnesses to us of a faithful, fruitful life. People like Maximilian Colby, people like Pastor Glenn Weiberg, so many, God, that come to mind. Help us to be examples of this too. May the fruit of our faith in you be evident in how we live, how we speak and how we choose not to speak, how we act. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. We come now to